That's
all we got to do. We'll go to Biltmore.
Yeah.
And just wait, no. Okay. Go ahead.
Keep me on track.
So know. Yeah, and so don't yeah. Let's save the questions to the end, or we'll never get through.
And if you have any, if you want to jump in at any point, or keep me on track, or whatever. If anyone has, well, questions at the end, okay. Yeah. So I was thinking about your question, and on the drive up here, I was thinking about where Jesus or Paul says we don't regard anybody from a human point of view anymore. We're in Christ, so we view everyone from the Christ point of view. And when we were at the youth conference, we did this thing where we passed around this rock. It's something that someone had taught me. And we were like, okay, if you saw this rock, if you were walking to work and you saw this rock, what would you do with this? And, you know, some people said I'd kick it, I'd throw it away, I'd walk over it, you know, whatever. But it was actually, the trick was, it was a trick, because there was a lesson in it. It was a geode. So when you open it up, it's actually this. Do y'all know what a geode is? Okay, so it was this, like, amazing thing. And so the point being that we tend to classify people, you know. Like, I was thinking about that earlier today. Like, we tend to think, okay, they're liberal, they're conservative, they're this. But I think on the ground level, when we're interacting with people, what we're really tapping into is who we are in Christ, getting God's perspective of this person. Because there's someone who's made in God's image, somebody that God loves. And I promise you, they may not realize this, but they're hungry for the Lord. They really are. And when we went to get lunch at this, it was a good restaurant. I wasn't crazy about it, but it was a really good restaurant. The waiter, I was honestly intimidated because I was like, these are like, where are we right now? No, I mean, I live in Selma, Alabama. I'm from Louisiana. I'm like, this guy has a man bun. Not the waiter, but anyway.
And waiter liked very well.
So we just asked him, like, hey, before we eat, we're going to pray for the meal. Is there anything we can pray for you about? He said, actually, yeah. I mean, I've got a friend who's in this really difficult situation. You know, can you pray for that friend? And I saw that change something in him. I mean, that just that little bit of kindness. I mean, that's where light shines the most, is in the darkness. So, Are all of you guys from Asheville? Who's from Asheville?
Define from.
We currently live in Asheville.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because I also felt like this driving up here. Someone's, and I'm going to get to the practical. This was on my heart. Someone said, why is America in the place it's in? And they said, maybe it's because the church, who has the prophetic voice of God, is speaking death over. And so I feel like we can get in a rut with how we think about where we live. Same way with Selma. I mean, we speak life over Selma all the time because it's a difficult place to be. So anyway, I just felt like we need to say that. We no longer view people from the fleshly point of view, but from Christ. And so that's a big part of when we go out. What we're trying to do is just we're trying to manifest the kingdom of heaven to each person that we see. And prophesy destiny, prophesy life, blessing over each person. And I say that because I also don't want that to be a barrier. Like, okay, this person, they look really intimidating. Like, I've talked to people, I feel like they're going to punch me in the face if I try to talk to them. And they're the hungriest people I've met. So anyway, that just was something I had to say. So do you want to talk about, like, prophetic and stuff like that? Okay. So...
I don't have much all of it yet.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so we're kind of on that track already. So I'm not the best teacher, okay, but the best teacher in the world lives in me, so there you go. And it's the same thing with prophecy. You know, the greatest prophet that ever lived lives in you, and therefore you can prophesy. So I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go back real quick to the Asheville thing because I think there's something. It's just interesting to me that there are a couple people that are from here. And I just really want to encourage, find the gold in Asheville. Find, you know, when Abraham was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, he was like, God, if there's 5 people, 10 people, God's like, there's 10 people, I'll spare it. So God loves it. God loves the place. I promise you, there are 10 people. There are thousands of people here that. Okay, and so one of the ways that we get to speak that destiny and life into people is by getting God's perspective of that person. And what we're doing is we're not operating from our mind, from our assumptions. We're listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay, and each one of us is in Christ. We have that access to the shepherd. So this is interactive. So we're going to get a little interactive, if that's okay. Can we do the thing we did at the youth conference? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to all stand up. And before you do that, I want you to know I got a word for you during worship. I'm sorry to call you out like this, but I saw you dancing. I saw you dancing before the Lord, and you were just so free. And you were just full of that beauty. And that's what the Lord's doing in your life right now.
Amen.
All right. So prophecy is for encouragement. It's for edification. It's for building up. It's for speaking destiny to people. And look, I'm telling you, let me say this first. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit scattered tonight. But okay. So when Jesus had them turn the water into wine, can you imagine bringing a cup of water to the banquet guy, whoever he is, and he's like pretty important guy, and they're like, we're out of wine, and Jesus says, okay, go give them this giant thing of water. How would you feel about that? You're like, you're going to bring water to this very important person. You're like a servant and nobody, and Jesus said, I'm going to turn this water into wine, and you're going up there, and you're looking, and you're like, it's still water, it's still water, it's still water. You're like, Jesus, what are you? And you get up there. And he's like, oh, thank you. He dips his cup in there. It's still water. And then when he drinks it, he's like, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. And you're like, what are you drinking? This? And then you realize it. So prophecy is kind of like that in some ways. And I felt like I needed to lay that, because this is about, a lot of it's about getting out of our comfort zone. It's about trusting the Lord. And Bishop says it all the time. We spell faith, R-I-S-K. I'm telling you, a lot of times God likes to be put on the spot in some ways, because he Amen. Just shows off. So we're going to prophesy right now. So just turn to the person next to you. And if you don't have anyone next to you, find someone and just turn and face them real quick.
You don't want to do me.
I know.
It's okay.
You know
each other too well sometimes.
I don't know what
we're
supposed to be facing each other.
Well, I'll get you. Okay. Does everybody have somebody? Who does not have a person? Does everybody have somebody?
We're doing twosies.
Okay, that'll be good. That'll be fine. Okay. So, how many of you have never given a prophetic word before? Raise your hand. Okay, awesome. Awesome. This is going to be awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Lord for a word, okay? And Jesus said, if you ask your Father for bread, he won't give you a stone. And so you may think when you ask the Lord for a word for somebody, the thought that pops in your mind, it might sound a lot like your thought. It might sound a lot like your mind. But we're having faith. We're stepping out in risk. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Lord. I'm going to pray real quick. I'm going to ask the Lord to give us all a word. And then I'm going to lead you really quick into the prophecy time. So Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence. Lord, we just thank you for pouring out your Spirit on us. We thank you, Lord, that we're in Christ. We thank you, Jesus, that we can hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, that you want to encourage us all tonight. So fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill us with your word. And I just pray you would release your word, Lord, for prophecy tonight in Jesus' name. Okay, so if you're the tallest person, I want you to say this. Okay? Repeat after me, okay? Jesus was the greatest prophet who ever lived.
Jesus was the greatest prophet who ever lived.
And Jesus lives in me.
And Jesus lives in me.
Therefore, I can prophesy.
Therefore, I can prophesy.
Okay, now face the person you're going to prophesy to. And we're going for encouragement here. Okay, so I saw husband and wife, so I'm like, I'm just kidding. So this is one way that I can approach someone on the street, or if you're in the middle of conversation, this is just a good way to kind of ease into prophesying. So I want you to say this. So I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
And sometimes when I look at people, God shows me things.
God shows me things.
And when I look at you,
I think.
Okay, and then go ahead and start prophesying. Okay, let's wrap it up. Okay, how many of you feel encouraged by that? Raise your hand. Someone says kind of weird. All right. That's a lot of people that just got encouraged from the Lord. So, all right. Okay, now the shorter, I'm not trying to call you short. I did that last time, and I was like, man, I need to figure out the better way to say this. Yeah. So now the shorter person, again, we're learning. We're all learning. So, like, don't be afraid. There's no failure here. Okay? The failure, really, is to not say anything. Okay? And if you don't have anything, get something. I want you to get something. I wanted to give you an out just now, but I'm not gonna do that. So you're doing a great job. Okay, you're doing a great job. Okay, so the shorter person, I want you to repeat after me. I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
And sometimes when I look at people,
God
shows me things.
God shows me things.
And when I looked at you, this is what I thought.
This is what I thought.
Hi. You're on the right track. You're not feeling like you're off track. That's right. You're on the right track. Not to say that God's good. Next thing is important.
Let's go.
So go. God has got you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and wind down with that.
Yeah.
Okay, who all was encouraged that time? Yes. That's a lot of encouragement. And so when God speaks, it's his kind of encouragement. It's like life happens. And another thing about prophecy, I was listening to this guy named Reinhard Bonnke the other day, and he said, in creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And he said, how long did he hover there? Was it, nothing happened. The Spirit hovered over the waters and nothing happened until the Word of God was spoken. And then the Spirit exploded creation. So much of when God speaks, things change. So we're speaking that life, that encouragement into people. And again, there's no failure in here right now with this, okay? And a lot of people are getting encouraged and built up. And I want to do it one more time. I just feel like we need to do it one more time. But this time, I just want you to... Um, destiny has to do with, and Bishop can probably explain this way better than I can, because I don't. But destiny is seeing that person as God sees them. And it's speaking gifts. It's speaking calling into them. And so, look, we're taking more risk here, okay? So what I want you to do is ask the Lord for to just speak into this person's destiny. I'm not saying, like, okay, you need to go open a car dealership. You know, I'm not. But you could say, you know, I think I just see that you have a real gift in this area. Okay, and if it's somebody that you know really well, maybe try to find someone that you don't know extremely well right now. So if you need to.
I think it'd be good to change partners regardless.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. Let's go ahead and we'll change up partners.
Yeah. I know you pretty well.
Okay.
The problem is the majority of the real resurrection, we all know each other.
Well, I have to find somebody I don't know. Give me a second. All right, I'll take
it. Right. Come on, guys.
There you go. So now, are we supposed to start? Or?
Oh, okay. We're going to do that thing again.
Okay.
You have a place for that.
Not as well as we can.
All right, here we go. This time. All right, this time the less tall person, I don't know, is going to go first. And we're going to say it again, just we're going to get in the rhythm, okay? So I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
And sometimes when I look at people.
Sometimes when I look at people.
God shows me things.
God shows me things.
And when I looked at you, this is what I thought.
And when I looked at you,
this is what I thought.
I'm just completely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Daniel.
All right. Now, I just want to take a second to give the person some feedback. Was it encouraging? Raise your hand if you were encouraged by that. Okay, that's a lot of people. That's awesome. All right, now the taller person. I can't win. I'm a Christian. And sometimes when I look at people, God shows me things. And when I look at you, I think.
You're not well. I'm going to give you a word.
it's like a diamond straw, but it's like, I actually think when you're but I just look at it,
maybe?
The word back from there that you're a rock, that you're like,
okay?
All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Okay, who is encouraged by that? Raise your hand. Okay. We're going to go ahead and head back to our seats. All right, well, congratulations, okay? You just heard the voice of the Lord for somebody. So thank you, Jesus, for all that encouragement. That's awesome. So I want to share a quick story about this. This one scares me. I'm not going to lie, but it's a good exhilaration because, you know, like Bishop said, you know, if you share this with somebody and they say, you're an idiot, get out of my face, you know, like nobody dies, you know, you die a little bit to yourself, which is always good. But on the other hand, and honestly, I've never had that happen before. I'm always afraid that's going to happen, but it never happens. Not yet, at least. We did this kind of exercise. I went to this school a few weeks ago where we were training and just seeing the kingdom of God manifest where we go. And I went to this, we went to a mall to do an outreach. And there is a, I went up to this jewelry store. I was like, hey, how are y'all doing? Can I pray for y'all? They said no. I said, okay, God bless you. It's okay. And then there was a guy selling phones. He was like, do you want to buy a phone? And I said, no, I'm from Alabama. You know, this is in Pennsylvania. And thank you anyway. And I just said, we're out praying for people. And he said, well, I don't really have a religion, which this is so awesome. I loved Pennsylvania for that reason, because I think God loves to show off around people that don't know him yet. It's awesome, which is why I'm so excited about tomorrow. So he said, I don't really have a religion. I'm not really sure. You know, I think they're all the same. And I said, well, can I ask Jesus to give me a word for you? I didn't have a word. I'd never done it like this before. So it was kind of fun and kind of scary at the same time. And he said, sure, why not? You know, why not? And I just opened my mouth and started speaking about his life, that he was a well, I kind of chickened out. I didn't say, you're a musician. I said, are you a musician? He said, how'd you know? And I was like, but then I started saying, you know, you write dark music, and then these are the things you do. And then there were just other stuff the Lord started giving me about his life. And he was like, how did you know this? How did you know this? Oh my gosh, how did you know that? And the Lord just kept giving me more stuff for him. And I said, Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows you, and he's showing me about your life right now. And he said, you know, I've actually been researching Christianity, and now I know that Jesus is God. Jesus is real. And so the Lord has the capacity to change a life through the prophetic. He has the power to encourage somebody through the prophetic as well. At the car dealership, I thought I had a word for somebody about their son going through a career change. And so I asked her, you know, I'm learning to hear God's voice. You can phrase it however you want to phrase it, but do you have a son? She said, no. I said, okay, well, I'm still learning, you know. And she said, but I do have a daughter, and she was adopted, and she is married to somebody. So she has a son-in-law who's in the military, who's going through a career change that is causing their whole family to move in with her. And she said, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Like, she was having an encounter with the Lord, you know, that just for her, God sees her. God knows what she's going through. And it gave some direction of how to pray for her and see the kingdom of God come in that place. And like, Jesus lives in me. Okay, I'm not like, you know, a prophet. I don't have that office to my knowledge. And if I did have that office, it would be to equip you to prophesy anyway. So, there is the guy who trained us. He said, "I'm a prophet, not because I can prophesy, but because I believe you can prophesy." And so that was his training. That's the fivefold ministry in Ephesians, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, preacher, teacher, to equip the body of Christ for the works of ministry. Okay. Awesome.
Can you tell the story about last weekend when we were outside the store and you went in? I'm
trying to remember. Which store? I'm sorry.
Wendy's or Walmart.
The pain. They said they were just talking about that pain. You walked in and prayed for me, got healed.
I'm trying to remember. Honestly, it's been happening a lot so often lately. I'm not saying that, and I'm just trying to remember.
He called me up. He was sitting outside of the store. I don't know if it's a 7-Eleven or whatever. And God just put it on his heart to go in there and pray for somebody.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, this was a really bad. We have this thing called Lazarus Weekend, which is awesome for the people going through it. And for us, it's awesome. But it's really challenging, too. But it was, like, a really bad day. But I just started worshiping, you know, get my eyes off myself, you know what I'm saying, on the Jesus. And I went to the store, and I was sitting down at the gas. I just pumped my gas, and I was like, the Holy Spirit, I think, put it on my mind to ask. Because I was like, Lord, I haven't gotten, like, a word of knowledge for someone in a while. And I'll talk more about that later. And then my back started hurting, and I was like, and then I looked inside, and I was like, okay, yeah, okay, let's go for it. But then there were people, so I just made a block, and on my way back, my hip started hurting. And so I was like, okay, back hip, got it. Went inside, and I was like, okay, so this may sound crazy, but I'm a Christian, and I feel like the Lord wanted me to come in here because I think someone's back and hip are hurting. Is that for it? And they were just like dead silent. You're like, and she was like, that is so crazy that you would say that, because we were just talking about this like right before you came in. She said, my back hurts and her hip hurts. I got to pray for both. In fact, yet a couple days ago, I went back to that gas station to check on him, and she was like, my hip still feels awesome. But the back lady, she, not the back lady, I forgot her name. But I'm sorry. You're the back lady. Hey, but she was in a train accident. And it really just messed up her back, her legs, everything. We got to pray. And I'm going to show you some things that I've learned that have been taught to me about how to pray for people on the street. But we prayed. And, the Lord brought her pain down. She was like, I feel good. I feel awesome. This feels great. And she said, are you a Christian? Because I think a lot of times, you don't have to do this every time. But a lot of times it's an invitation. Like, God just healed you. You know, what do you think about Jesus, you know? And she said, I'm a believer. I've never been baptized, but I really would love to find a church. And I was like, well, you can come to our church, Christ the King. We have service every day, you know, at this time. And another story that just happened the other day, this was so much fun. Come on.
I can partner with you. This is fun. Yeah, fun story.
The other day, I was like really kind of down. And someone was like, can you pray for my back? So I prayed for their back. Like, honestly, I was like, this is bad, but this is, I'm not proud of this, but I was just like, okay, let's just pray and get out of here. That's not how I normally am. I promise you that. I promise you. And she had this problem for years, and God healed her instantly. And she texted me the next day and said, I've never felt this good. Like, I haven't felt this good in years. And it just got me pumped. And I was like, let's go. And so I just was like, God, where should we go today? And I felt like he said Family Dollar. And like I said, this is risk. It's like I didn't hear a voice from heaven saying, David, you know,
go to Family
Dollar. So, but it wasn't Dollar General. So I was like, Family Dollar. So I walked in and I was like, went to the cashier. I was like, can I pray for you? And she said, sure. I just got robbed a few days ago and someone broke into my house and they stole my AC unit. And Selma's like been like 100 degrees lately. And so I started praying. And then I remembered I actually had a window unit in my car that I wasn't using because I was going through some transition and stuff like that. And that morning I was actually thinking about what am I going to do with this AC unit. And so I was able to give it to her. And she just like broke down. And she was like, again, she was like, you know, I'm a believer, but I don't have a church or whatever. And so I invited her. I'm hoping they come. We also had
See, that's how one of the ways, like, you're not doing it for church growth. You're doing it because it's a cool part of being a Christian. Mm-hmm. You'll often talk to somebody, and if you believe in what you're doing and have a church life, well, we'll come. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord just does some cool stuff like that. And I think that one of the things I was thinking of a story, we just tell stories, too.
Yeah, cool.
If you guys remember when I was in Wilmington, your installation, and we had the cool thing happen with a lady in the hotel, I searched out. Well, in the airport, Ron and I were in the airport calling home, and was talking to him. I said, oh, listen, you won't believe what happened this Sunday. This lady comes to church, and she brings her daughter with her. Were you there that day, David? And her daughter is like 10 years old. And months ago, she had brought her daughter to our new Eucharist. And I wasn't there that day either. Maybe that's the key. Get me out of the way. Her daughter had a really severe limp because her leg was 5 inches, one leg was 5 inches shorter. She got prayed for. Her mother brought her back that day to share because she was walking normal. Her leg had grown out 5 inches. That's just been kind of the normal stuff we've had happen lately.
Yeah, we had another lady come in last Thursday after Eucharist, and she said, do y'all pray for people? And Father Bob said, what, a church that prays for people? Father Bob got to pray for her. We were like, you know, what's up? Do you have pain tomorrow? And she said, I have pain everywhere. Back, neck, legs. And so we got to pray for her a few times, and the Lord healed her. And she went back to her daughter and was like crying. She was like, yes. It's really awesome, and it's for the whole body of Christ. The whole ministry of Jesus is for the whole body of Christ, which is awesome. To talk a little bit about just some practical things about healing. Well, first of all, let me just ask this. When I came in here, my elbow was hurting. Does anybody have elbow pain? You can raise your hand if you do. If not, that's okay. Okay. There's how you give a word of knowledge, and that doesn't hit anybody. There you go. I'm still alive. there you go. What about knee pain? Is it the right knee or left knee? Both knees. Okay. We'll pray for you in just a minute. Should we go into keep praying for healing on the street?
I think the thing is, what you're going to have, like even here, this church, you guys are used to going in the park, doing Eucharist, doing warfare stuff. And so the boldness thing, that's not uncommon. I think one of the things that's the big help is hearing the stories. Because the scripture says in Psalm 119 that his testimonies are our inheritance. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And so when people give testimonies about things that Jesus has done, it's a prophetic word to other people. Wow, that God's going to do this stuff in me or through me too. And so I think, but again, like today, I think one of the great ways you can approach people tomorrow, there'll be different ways. One of the things you can do, especially if you have a clergy with you, you know, we're going to go out like in groups of three or four. I'll give you an example. We were standing outside the mall in Selma in the parking lot. We were just approaching people in the parking lot. I had three kids with me. And one kid who had never prayed for anybody ever before had been healed. Sort of a strapping a briar.
Oh, yeah.
Big kid, athletic kid. So this lady's standing out there, and we just walk up to her, and he just says, look, we're just out praying for people. And is there anything going on in your life we can pray about? Anything physically going on? She shared some things where she was really suffering. And he prayed for her, and she got totally healed. And then we saw a guy sitting in his car, in his truck. So we walked over to the window, and they approached him and said, because he had this, like, cast on his hand. They said, or brace. And they said, gosh, something going on with your hands. We're out praying for people. Again, yeah, that's an icebreaker. You know, can we help you? Well, was that lady's husband? He said, yeah, he had the trigger finger. He couldn't move his thumb at all, but it was on his thumb. So the kids just laid hands and prayed for him. He was like, one of our kids, Anna, we're walking downtown Main Street, and And they, Selma does have a main street.
Nope,
we're walking down the street, and there's this young guy, probably in his early 20s, with a gun. He has a gun, sort of leaning against the door. So we just stopped, we just started talking to him and said, you know, we're Christians, and we believe God heals people, and sometimes we pray for people to get healed. Is there anything going on in your life? He said, well, my right knee's in really bad shape. And I said, I can't bend my knee. So this 18-year-old girl prays for him. And we walk away with that guy doing his knee up and down. Oh, Jesus, you got here. And we're seeing that kind of thing happen every day. But if you're the body of Christ, and if you don't speak up, he has no other voice. And if you don't stretch out your hands, he has no other set of hands. And every one of you are exposed to people every single day who have a need to encounter the kingdom of heaven. It's just about hearing the Holy Spirit and going for it.
What you're talking about, I think the reason it creates apprehension for a lot of us, I mean, we've gone out a lot, like you said, but most of what we've done, we've gone out, we've done masses, we've done dramatic presentations, we've done feedings, we've done things, they come to us,
right.
And then we pray over them.
Right.
We haven't just gone out and kind of essentially accosted people in the street.
Right.
And I guess the fear factor in this town especially, the man bun is the least of it. I mean,
yes.
There's a large contingent of people that I see every day at work, for example, who are pagans, they're Wiccans, they're spiritualists, they're homosexuals, they're whatever, and you say, I'm a Christian, and it's immediately, get away from me, you're an awful, big-lived, horrible person, I don't even want to see you in my face, is the immediate reaction. So, I'm listening to you say that, I'm saying, boy, I don't think that's a good starting position. You know?
Well, you could change it up for yourself if you want.
But, I mean, so that's,
what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you can do it, and I'm going to, I appreciate you asking that question, because that helps me know kind of where to go. One before you mention that, the cool thing about the, you know, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, okay, until you're clothed with power from on high. They had seen him risen, he had breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were fired up, and he said, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And so the cool thing about praying for people is that, like, miracles are the easiest thing in the world because we don't do them. We just, like, the servants did not turn water into wine. And the cool thing about it, and I'm telling you, there's a world of difference between approaching someone and saying, hey, you shouldn't be living this way. You know, let me share the gospel with you. And I'm not saying anyone's, that's just an example. Versus, that looks really painful. How did your leg hurt like that? Oh my gosh, can I pray for you? That's a very valid and very good question, and it gives me some good direction in just a second to talk about. But I want to share, that reminds me of this story. I think it was last week, I was like, I want to go pray for some people today. And so I saw these guys sitting in the yard. One of them was drinking like whiskey or something like that. The other one was smoking something. He had a cane, and I was like, all right, there we go. One thing I was taught is if you see someone hurting and you think, should I pray for that person? The answer is always yes. I mean, it's usually yes. I mean, like, just go for it. Seriously, just go for it. Jesus said, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Like, I'm not saying don't use discernment, but I'm saying go for it. Okay, so I pulled up to his house. I was like, can I pray for you guys? They said, sure, you can come pray for us. He put down his whiskey bottle. He said, look, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you with this. I said, it's no problem. You're not offending me at all. And I prayed for his knees. He was a veteran. And I said, thank you so much for your service. He said, wow, thank you for saying that. And I got to pray for his knees. His buddy said, hey, my wrist is hurting. Can you pray for my wrist? Prayed for his wrist. His wrist was numb. He said he was going to have to go to a doctor. He couldn't feel his, like, it was like down his arm. It was numb, and he could pray for him in the name of Jesus, and the Lord healed his arm, and he got feeling in his arm. Then when the original friend saw that he got healing, he stood up and started checking his knees. He was like, we got to pray for him again. And when I drove away from that, I felt like the Lord told me that honor opens the door.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was a word for y'all, but I feel like honor opens the door. And we're respecting the image of God in somebody regardless of where they're at. And we're trusting that the Lord's going to bring the power of the kingdom. And that may look like a seed that's planted that we may never get to see the fruit of. Or it may look like somebody getting wrecked by Jesus in a moment. I prayed for a Muslim lady in Pennsylvania. She had a cane. She was surrounded by 20 of her Muslim family members. And I went up to her and I said, wow, how did this happen? And she said, it's been like this for years. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And I was like, okay, let's go. I'm telling you, it got quiet out there. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I prayed for her. And when I looked up, you could tell, at least I felt like I perceived the Lord was touching her. And then I left.
You remember Elijah in 1 Kings 19 went in. It says the people were torn to whether they were going to believe in Baal or believe in God. And they were worshiping Baal, but they were still a hint. They were still trying to find out what the truth was. And Elijah set up the contest, said, well, let's just see who's the real God. And so part of the thing, like one time I prayed for six Muslim women who all had their burqas on, and I didn't even share the gospel with them. And they came, they thought it was a medical clinic, they came, prayed for all of them, they all got healed, then they all got saved. So sometimes you would be surprised that even a New Age person or a Wiccan person, what they're looking for is power. Mm-hmm. Scripture says that Jesus is the desire of the nations. And so they're just looking for something that has authenticity, that's bigger than their small story. And so sometimes you can just approach them and say, you may, especially at work, the point of us doing like tomorrow isn't saying, the key is we want you guys out in the streets in bunches, praying for people. It's tomorrow to take you out to get, and we're doing it at our church too, just to get people comfortable with doing this so it becomes part of their lifestyle. You're going to have much more chances around the working somebody who may be a Wiccan or New Age person. And they go, man, my back's been bothering me all day long. And you go, hey, would you mind if I pray for you? Because sometimes when I pray for people, they get healed. Most of the time, they're going to go, okay. Because if they don't get healed, what difference does it make? But if they do get healed, then you can say, like he did when you talked to that guy in that mall, this was Jesus Christ who healed you. You know? And so they can do with the information they want. The Lord will often set up contests so that people have to judge between who's the real God. But if Elijah hadn't boldly shown up and did what he did, it wouldn't have happened. So that's why, like I was saying, tomorrow we may pick and choose where we go. So you don't find all the resistance. Just getting you comfortable with simply as a lifestyle, praying for people, giving prophetic words to people. And we have that happen all the time. You'll go up to somebody, like what David said, he's like, look, you know, I am, whatever, how you break it, I said, you know, sometimes when I look at people, God will show me some things about their life. Would you mind if I share with you some things I think God's telling me about your life? Well, most people are curious enough to go, sure, all right, go for it. And then you start reading their mail, and so how in the world did you know that? They've had an encounter with the Lord. You go, oh, because Jesus showed it to them. And that may just be the fourth step in the 10-step process before they finally give their lives to Jesus. But it's important. So we see a lot of miracles happen that are just, we'll go to people, we have this happen a lot. We'll say, anything going on physically, we can pray for you. They go, nothing. I said, well, you mind if I just pray for God's blessing? And God shows me something about your life. He wants to speak some kind of word of encouragement. It's okay. And then you start speaking, and it blows their doors off that God loves them so much. Give them details.
Yeah. And I should have prefaced before, the prophetic is just one of the ways that the Lord could use you. It's all about the love of Jesus and seeing his kingdom come. But that's one of the ways. But if you, you know, it may not always be, you know, you can use discernment. If you feel like saying, hey, I'm a Christian and I feel like God's, then you can kind of rephrase it like however you want to. And it may just start by saying, hey, how are you doing? Are you from here? And so a lot of this can happen, what's called as you go ministry. Like Jesus encountered a lot of people just as he was out and about. Like he was at the well getting some water. You know, and he encountered this lady and it turned the whole village upside down. So I want to touch on this real quick and then get into praying for people for healing. Yeah, one great way, I break the ice if I see someone that very obviously has a physical condition. I would say, oh, what happened? Are you okay? That's kind of how I start talking about, and they'll say, oh, man, you know, I've got this condition, but it's, you know, it's normal. They're like, wow, can I pray for you? Sometimes when I pray for people, God heals them, but not always. Is it okay if I pray for you? It's not a script. You can say it, but I'm telling you, I don't, 9 times out of 10, one guy had a demon and he wouldn't let me pray for him, but that's a whole nother story. And then a couple people, you know, wouldn't let me pray for them, and they probably were not demonized. You know, they just didn't want prayer for whatever reason. But most people let us pray for them, and it's okay. Oh gosh,
I think it's a big note where you're talking about seeing people with disabilities and stuff, and kind of being drawn to that. Mm-hmm. I went to the prophetic conference on prophecy and went on healing at the
awesome.
Cathedral there.
That's
years
awesome.
Ago. And that was one of the main things I learned, especially like with the prophetic, like even tonight. You know, saying, okay, sometimes God shows me things. I'll look at a person and something on them about their clothing or about their features or just something like that stands out, you know. And
that's
usually
right.
What pulls me on
yeah.
into that. You know? And usually, if you get to it, I think you get, I've had him give me straight words, you know, that denied myself.
Yeah. Awesome.
And just feeling that pain.
Yeah.
I think, see, one of the reasons I wanted to come here, we do our clerics here, but I'm very intentional about wanting to go out in the streets of Nashville. Mm-hmm. If you remember Mount Carmel, when it says in that story in 1 Kings 19, that the altar where he built his altar, where it had one time been an altar to God. And so I believe that one of the reasons God chose Mount Carmel to manifest this victory is because God wanted to take back a place that he believed belonged to him. And I believe that God believes Asheville belongs to him.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share this. This is a word that I felt like I was getting for y'all. As a church, and then we'll talk about healing. I promise, because that's important.
We're having to be a little bit careful with times.
Okay. I'll be really quick about this. I just saw. I felt like the Lord asked me last week, how many people does it take to reach a city? And then today, I felt like He said, how many pieces of bread, how many fish does He need to feed 5,000 people? And I felt like the Lord said that as you put yourself in His hands and you're broken, He's going to multiply you. So just make that really short.
One of the coolest things happened for me lately is recently we went out to pray for somebody, and this lady said, oh, you must be, you're from that church that prays for faithful people.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'd like for that, and I'd like for this church, all of my churches to be known like that. Oh, you're the one that people are always out there praying for.
No, you don't.